When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys with me, Tim Hinks, and my co-host, whose name is...
David Baddiel. You were going so well, and then I think you sport it with whose name is.
Yeah, but I think
who
that...
does that? That
no, but I was just trying to get the thing where you say... Yeah,
well, I know what you were trying to do,
yeah.
And you were looking at me, and yeah. I was all prepared, and with my co-host, I thought, we're finally going to do it. We're finally going to do like a semi-normal intro, because I was quite prepared to just say David Baddiel, but then you said, whose name is, which again,
I admit,
I think you have to imagine Good Morning Britain. I mean, for some reason, that's the one that always comes to mind. Like Piers Morgan has never said, who's my co-host, whose name is, and Susanna Reid.
Right, try this one.
We've ruined it already, but
But let's try an intro with an intro, which is, hello, welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. I'm Tim Hinks.
And I'm David Baddiel. That's what we could
good.
Do. Okay. Well, let's keep this one and try that one next time. Yeah.
Could be too Ronnie, and I could say he's David Baddiel.
It's a little bit too.
No, but I could make it more. I could say, "Hi, welcome to Stalking the Moon Boys." He's David Baddiel,
and he's Tim Hinks. That's very too Ronnie's.
Yeah, but I quite like that.
Well, okay,
it's confident.
It's confident. It's a bit too Ronnie's for me.
A bit self-regarding.
Yeah. I wonder if the two Ronnie's ever did a David Bowie sketch. In my mind, I sort of think they did, or some kind of glam rock sketch.
I think they would definitely have a view. I could see how they would do it.
Ronnie Barker's takeoff of Gary Glitter.
Right, well, that's...
Let's have a look at it.
That's
come on.
More on edge.
It's on edge, but let's have a look at it. So he's called Gary Schmutter.
Wow.
Oh, brilliant. Now, for those of you who don't know, Schmutter is actually a genuine Yiddish word that means clothes.
Clothing, right?
Clothes and materials, yeah.
You wanna be in my shoes, my shoes, my shoes. People try and buy shoes just like mine. If you get a prize, you should get a nice shoe. When you got your high shoes, you'll be a fine. But you left it out, but you left it out. You left it out, you should get all about it.
He's done his back in.
Right, in
the
sketch.
He does back in, yeah.
Because what it's that thing about, what would they think about all those guys, Bowie, Glam, they'd think they dress in women's clothing, and that's the funny thing. So it's about his shoes.
His
fact, he's got platform shoes.
Well,
that's the joke.
I mean, really, the funny thing is Ronnie Barker, a fat bloke,
right,
is in a silver lingerie jumpsuit. But something that did interest me about it a lot is someone like Gary Glitter, because of obviously stuff that's happened since, you sort of forget any detail about him, really. Right, because you just think like Peter, whatever, and you might remember the songs, you know, and you might even think, oh, actually, they're quite good songs. Mm. Bit of a shame they've been cancelled from culture. But greater details you've gone about. Now, the beginning of that, he was doing, Ronnie Barker was doing a surprised face with very wide eyes, and I remember at the time thinking that's something that Gary Glitter always did.
No, In fact, I
saw Gary Glitter much later on. I think he played a Mabel at Cambridge University in the 80s. And I remember him coming on, turning round, came on back to the audience, turned round with the wide-eyed, surprised face.
No, exactly.
And I'd sort of forgotten that about Gary Glitter until Ronnie Barker just
But
did
I
it.
Also was talking with Bella, our producer, who went to Bristol University. I went to Bristol. Gary Glitter played Bristol University in 1988 or 9 or something like that. And he did exactly that, back to the audience. And, of course, everyone loved it and hadn't seen anything quite like that since they were kids or whatever.
Well, at the time, though, it was already ironic, I think.
Yeah, but it was some... That theatre, sense of theatre thing was perhaps not... Everyone was a bit more shoegazy then. And I don't know, you just rarely saw people sing like that and perform like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was great in without knowing at that point what he was. And,
I feel Ronnie could have gone on from his Gary Glitter, Ronnie Barker, to do David Bowie, you know, Roxy Music,
but I
to
think,
do Slade, to do a whole series of...
Yeah.
You know, glam rock icons. Well,
particularly when he did it so accurately and stripped it down to its essentials in that way. But I think he... but no, they became... We've talked about this before, like almost shorthand for pop stars in sort of Midsummer Murders, and you know when you want to do a sort of what does a pop star look like? They looked a bit like somewhere between Glitter and Bowie,
yes,
and had a sort of weird name like Ziggy Zangatron,
yes,
or something. Yes. And then I think it happened to punks because I remember thinking punks that period when punks had the sort of what do you call it when the mohawk.
Mohican. Not mohawk.
Is it, what's
it's
it called?
Mohican.
Mohican.
Mohawk is... What is a mohawk? Mohawk hair. It is a type of hair.
Oh, it is.
And there's people. The Mohawk people are the most easterly tribe of the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy. Okay.
So it's an indigenous American...
Oh, so a mohawk hairstyle is... Oh, it's a Mohican.
Oh, that's the root.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But no one calls it mohawk apart from you.
I do,
And the indigenous people of the Osiquini.
Yeah, well, so... But in that lasted, I think, for about 3 minutes in real life...
Mohicans.
Right.
But if there's
a punk on EastEnders,
yes.
Probably not now, but yes. They would have a mohawk.
Yes. I remember a long time ago, a band called the Choir Boys, spelled Q-U-I-R-E, Choir Boys. Do you remember them? Have you got them in your mind, what they look like?
No, but I feel
okay,
like...
Well, I saw a devastating but completely correct critique of them, which was to say they've always looked like... a band that are playing the Queen Vic that have been made up to look like a sort of slightly bad boy rock group have come in to be a pub band at the Queen Vic. Yes. And that is what the Choir Boys look like. They've thought out their slightly sort of gothy bad boy image.
Yes. A friend of mine that you just made me remember called David Lace.
David Lace?
At school.
David, was he called Black?
No, he was. I tell you what he was called.
Missed a trick there.
Well, it's partly relevant to what I was going to say. He was called Lank.
Right.
I don't know why would he be called David Lace was called Lank, which I think was spelled L-A-N-C. I don't know why.
Okay.
But he, two things I remember about him. One is he had on the back of his jacket.
Yeah.
You remember Punk's Not Dead? People having that on the back of their jacket.
Yeah.
He had intriguingly Punk Not Dead. Written on it.
Well, without apostrophe S.
Yeah. Just
Punk Not Dead.
Right.
Okay. Maybe he just forgot.
I think he was.
Typo.
He wasn't really a punk, so I don't know why he had it. But the other thing I remember about is that my friend Piers, who has featured a few times in these podcasts, we played
along with Clactopus, Davis, is it?
Clive Richards.
Clive Richards. Yeah.
We played after school table tennis club in the sixth form or fifth year. I'm not sure. And it was really good fun. Do you like table tennis? Is amazingly good.
Yeah, it's great. I love table tennis.
It's much better than you think when you're playing it.
I think it's
how good do you think it is?
I think it's as good as I think it is.
Okay. It's better than that.
Right.
Yeah. So we were playing after school table tennis club, and Lank was standing just slightly to the side
of Lank is really weird.
No, I guess he was playing. So I think he was playing against Piers in this. And Piers, in that way where sometimes you just slightly lose, you know, he's like, oh, fuck it. He basically returned this serve deliberately at Lank.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And basically, it was so pinpoint accurate, to tell you. He whacked the ball back and it hit Lank in the face.
Right.
It's only a table tennis ball, but it's still a bit of a sting. It's nothing terrible.
Yeah.
So it hit him in the face.
Yeah.
But the important point here is that when the ball... had hit him in the face, it bounced straight back
onto the table.
Right,
like it was a shot.
It, like it was
Over the right side of the net.
Over the right side of the net, onto the table.
Wow.
And Piers did what... This is all happening... I mean, I'm making it... It's happening in real time. Right, in seconds. Yeah. Less than a second. Maybe. It bounced back, and so Piers, who's still in the mindset, I'm going to hit Lank, hits it back at him again.
Yeah.
And it hits him in the face.
Okay, I've
a
got...
A second time.
Unbelievably...
Right.
I have a story to match this one.
Well, I can finish mine only by saying, and then it sort of fizzled off. And it became a sort of almost a philosophical position about being lanked.
Right.
When something, like being struck by lightning twice.
Yes.
Totally lanked. Unbelievably, it happened
twice. Although, I'll be honest with you, I think it's much less likely to be hit by lightning twice than a bloke to hit you in the face twice with a ping pong ball that he's aiming to hit you with.
I think
that isn't that extraordinary.
To be fair, the extraordinary, not about extraordinary, we should be careful, but it's only me. You're saying it's not extraordinary.
Also, considering the trouble this podcast got into, I don't think this is something we have to be that careful about.
No,
unless Lank is going to sue.
He's not
going
to sue.
Right.
I'm going to stick with extraordinary, was it coming right back, twice coming back like he had taken a shot.
Right.
So the
That's being lanked.
It's being lanked.
Okay, so I have a story.
Okay.
Incredibly, that actually almost entirely matches
this one.
You're
not lank, are you?
I'm not lank. But also, it's even got a sort of pop star element to it.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I've mentioned this many times before, but I'll mention it again. My oldest friend is David Gavrin of The Sundays. For people who don't know, The Sundays are a very, very good indie band that were big in the 90s and could still be big now, but they decided to stop making records for their own strange reasons in 1997. But brilliant they are. And I was in a band with him. I was also in a Jewish youth group with him called Habonim. Is Habonim. It's a modern Hebrew for the builders. And I was, all my early experiences, sort of social experiences and indeed sexual ones, took place at Habonim, really.
Why is it called the builders?
I think it's a good question.
I'll tell you what it was.
It's something which still it still exists somewhat. It was a socialist Zionist movement, and it was built around kibbutz. And the idea in Habonim was that basically I just used it like the scouts.
Yes.
I just used it as a place to go and like play football and meet people and eventually girls and stuff. But some people took it really seriously and ended up living in Israel. Some people I still know that live in Israel on kibbutz because they were essentially indoctrinated by Habonim. But anyway, I was playing football in the gym at the Moedon, which is the building that we used to go to in Finchley Road. There was a big basement there, a big gym, and we used to play football. And a guy called Dave Durand, who was quite a big bloke and quite physical, don't remember much else about him, was playing. And Dave Gavrin was on the other side. And Dave Durand kicked the ball, not intending to.
Right, okay.
Really, really hard. And it hit my mate, Dave Gavrin, full in the face.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
And he was, like, really shocked and moved backwards. And he kind of started to say, Dave, you wanker. And Dave Durand kicked it again. And it hit Dave again in the face. Like, really not intending to. He just kicked it again because Dave Durand was a bit like, and just kicked it again and hit him again in the face.
There you go.
And Dave Gavrin, who is an extremely even-tempered, nice bloke, got furious and stormed out of the game. And I was pissing myself laughing. So, but unbelievably, on separate sides of London, or separate sides of the world.
I'm in Sussex.
You're watching someone being lanked, I'm watching someone being Durant.
Well, what year? Because we could get copyright. What year did yours happen?
I reckon about 1978, 79, or possibly even early 80s.
Oh, well then
it might be early 80s. If I think about it, look, I am 54. I was born in 1964. I reckon this happened when I was like 16.
Okay.
So yeah, early 80s.
Well, I think because mine would have been 1982, I think. I think we were fourth
year. Let's assume it was happening at the same time. And the same moment, just in different parts of the world.
Yeah. No, I just think...
Not even that different parts
of the world. I
suppose
what I mean is the listeners and the people that are going to want to know whether to call it a lanking or a Durante. That's what all I'm saying. I'm just trying to be helpful to them.
Yeah. Well, I would say if it happens with a ping pong ball, it's lanky.
Okay, yeah.
If it happens with the football, it's Durante.
Right.
I'm going to mention what I tried to mention about 25 minutes ago before the lank Durand bit came up. Which is, there's like one or two things in David Bowie's oeuvre, by which I mean his whole oeuvre, not just the albums, that I've never had any kind of like contact with at all.
Right.
So even the crap albums, I've occasionally tried to listen to them or whatever.
Right.
I've never watched Labyrinth.
Right.
And Dolly, my daughter, I've mentioned once before, she got really into Labyrinth at one time. And even when she was really into Labyrinth, every time I saw it, I thought, that looks really naff.
Yes.
I'm not going to watch it. But is that a mistake? Should I watch Labyrinth?
I think my kids...
Have you watched it?
But I don't remember much about it. And my kids watched it, you know, without any Bowie sort of knowledge at all and liked it. I think it's all right, isn't it? But I don't think it's going
to... One thing, I know we've talked about this before and got us into trouble. When we talked about it before, so I won't refer to what the trouble was, but we've talked about Dave Bowie's penis once before. Now, as far as I'm aware, the tights in Labyrinth are very, very sheer.
Okay.
I mean, Dolly confirms this.
Okay.
I talked about it the other day.
Right.
I think we use the word schlong because we're, you know, I'm Jewish, she's half Jewish, so it was okay.
Right.
She never went to Hubble Name. So, shall we have a quick look?
Yeah.
At.
Whenever you see clips of him, it's the usual Bowie wooden acting, isn't it? That's the problem.
Well, I believe so.
Well, it definitely is.
So if you actually go, yes, he's really got an enormous penis. In fact, if you Google it, you can get a critical analysis on Gizmodo of David Bowie's crotch bulge.
Wow.
Yeah, Bowie.
This says here that one of the things you notice about Labyrinth as an adult is Bowie's bulge.
Yes.
And it calls them Jareth's Jewels, because Jareth is right. The character. And it says Jareth's Jewels are so popular they have their own Facebook page.
And then it says here that if you in Labyrinth, at one point the camera pans over the scrapbook of the girl and they've got mom written on it, as in mum, the American for mum. And the cuttings read on stage kiss, and the man pictured with Sarah's mother is David Bowie. But I think that means David Bowie, not Jareth the Goblin King.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Okay, so here it is. Here is a picture of the girl's scrapbook in Labyrinth.
Right.
God, there's a whole thing about
this. No, it's huge. There's a huge thing
about this. Her mum, I think, is called Linda. The girl is called Sarah. And Linda, I can't see it now, but I think Linda, her mum, is having a relationship with David Bowie.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Jarlath the Goblin King...
Yeah. Oh, I see.
...is appearing in her bedroom, in her daughter's bedroom.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a bit...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very interesting to see whether this is...
Don't you think the words Jarlath the Goblin King
sound
like genitals? I mean, it could be like a euphemism.
Well, I think
for genitals, you could say...
I totally get that. It's also true that if...
I mean, the whole... I mean,
you can call genitals anything.
Yes, you can call genitals anything, and it sort of works. And it's a bit long. I mean, I don't mean the penis itself.
Yes.
As a phrase,
yes.
Jarlath the Goblin King is a bit long. You wouldn't really say...
You're
in the toilet, and you wouldn't say, I'm just going to give the old Jarlath the Goblin King a shake. It's too long, isn't it?
Yeah.
To say. But you might say the old Jarlath, or you might say the old Goblin King.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say
the old Goblin King.
Right. I'm going to say in all cases, how long those phrases are doesn't seem to be the main problem. The main problem is they're terrible.
They're always terrible.
But if you said, I was playing football and I got kicked in the alarm clock, everything works, doesn't it?
No.
I mean, literally, I'm just trying to think of the worst.
I don't think that does work.
I got kicked in the old alarm clock.
No, I mean, incredibly, it doesn't work for me, even though it's actually got the word cock in it.
Maybe alarm clock's the only one, but try something else. I got kicked in the garden shed, definitely.
Yeah, that probably works. Yeah. Okay. Should we just deal with what's in the room?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking around me. That's why I said alarm clock.
I got kicked in Peter Fincham's shed.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awful.
I got kicked in the sofa.
No, I don't know.
No, maybe it doesn't always work.
I don't know if it does always work.
No.
Okay, well, tell you what. I mean, I apologise, listeners, because I think of this as quite a sort of, you know, highbrow podcast anyways, but I am going to Google slang words for penis. So here we go. Adolf, albino cave dweller, baloney pony, beef whistle.
But who's ever going to use any
of those? Bob Dole, burrito, custard launcher, Ding Dong McDork. I mean, do you see what... they are right. I mean, however hideous they are, I think it is true that if you say, I got kicked in my Ding Dong McDork, you wouldn't think, I wonder what he's talking about. What is that, some kind of sandwich? I don't think you would think that.
No, okay.
I would think you'd know what I meant. Whereas if I said, I got kicked in my alarm clock, I think you'd think... Well, how did that happen? That's weird. Were you carrying an alarm clock?
I have withdrawn an alarm clock for discussion because I think that is wrong.
But I think if I said I got kicked in my Jarlath, you would know. I think. Isn't Jarlath also a comedian? Isn't there a comedian called
Jareth?
Isn't there some comedian
called Jarlath? Jedward. Oh, no, sorry, not Jedward. Jedward. No, not Jedward. You mean the West Country?
No, not Jethro.
Jethro, that's
not Jethro.
Oh, okay, right, right.
No, not Jethro or Jethro Tull.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a comedian. Jarlath Regan.
Right, but I think...
the actual comedian.
Okay. Kicked in the Jethro Tull definitely works.
Kicked in the Jethro Tull works perfectly.
I mean, it's almost the best. It's almost better than penis.
Yeah.
it should almost be the first one you go to.
I think if you got kicked in the Jethro Tull, it's almost like the whole set. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's sort of a sense in which you've got kicked in the cock and balls.
I think maybe all band names work.
I got Whitesnake. Certainly works.
He got kicked in the Herman's Hermits.
I got kicked in the Gentle Giant. Now you've mentioned it, I can't. Well, perhaps a girl band name wouldn't work.
I got kicked in
the Blondie.
I got kicked in the Spice Girls.
I got kicked in the Spice Girls. No, it doesn't work unless it's a woman.
I got kicked in the Ronettes. Definitely.
I got kicked in the Jerry Halliwell.
We got kicked in the Ronettes. Work.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, I don't know if it does. It's unfortunate that we're just dealing with violence as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Although it sort of works because that's a situation which you might decide to use a euphemism.
I've got this quiz.
Oh, yeah, we'll do the quiz.
Do you want to do it? But I don't think we'll get through all of it.
Let's see how many we get through.
But every now and again...
this is a really hard quiz, apparently.
Yeah, I like Bowie quiz or any quiz. And this one is... You can find this on...
Do you know all the answers already?
No, I haven't looked at it.
We could do 10 of them and then I could ask you 10
of them. This is called the Very Hard David Bowie Quiz.
I should say for any listeners listening, and it might be out by the time we do this, I host University Challenge for Comic Relief this year. And it seemed to go quite well, so hopefully it'll be funny. But, you know... That made me think, oh yeah, quiz mastering. That's something I could do.
It's really good fun.
Yeah.
There's a great University Challenge Undertones reference, isn't there? Which you'll know, I think.
Is there?
I'm pretty sure. In My Perfect Cousin.
Oh, yes, yes. He but loves University Challenge.
Well, no, it's before it. It's got this word which no one's ever quite sure
about.
Well,
that rhymes with challenge.
Yeah.
Let me see what the thing
I'll
is.
Tell you, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it basically goes,
My Perfect Cousin.
I think it's my says he's a because I hate University Challenge and it's a weird
challenge.
Well, challenge. It sort of might as well challenge. Be. It's an interesting moment actually because I've never
I don't know
looked it up. He thinks that I'm a because I hate University Challenge.
Cabbage.
Well, it is cabbage.
It is cabbage. He thinks that I'm a cabbage.
But it always.
Because I hate University Challenge.
I always thought it was chabbage.
Yeah, well.
Because if you hear it. He thinks that I'm a cabbage. Do you see what I mean? You can see it's sort of slightly chabbage.
Yeah, although it's helped by.
Fergal.
By Fergal Sharkey's Irish accent. I think slightly helps. Northern Irish accent.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Helps.
It's sort of assonance in a way, isn't it?
It might be assonance. But here's an actual University Challenge relevant to this podcast.
Right.
Which is. You probably know what you think the answer to this is.
Okay.
So you can see this on the internet because it became a bit of a moment. I host University Challenge this year, but in 2003 I was on it. And I answered a question, and then it was contradicted by Danny Baker. Here's the question.
Right.
Who played guitar on Nutbush City Limits?
Oh, okay. I think so there's this theory that it's Mark Bolan.
So I said Mark Bolan.
Right. But I don't think it is.
Well,
but,
that was what was on Angus Deaton, the question master's card. So I should have got the point.
Okay.
But Danny Baker interrupted and said, it wasn't. Mm. That's an urban myth.
Yes.
And they didn't have any evidence to back it up. His evidence was Ike Turner was a brilliant guitarist.
Right.
Why would he have given that job away to Mark Bolan? Right. What, you know, it's just like he definitely wouldn't have done that. And I kind of think that's not evidence.
But hang on. I don't want to open up a private wound here, but it seems to me who played on that song is you'd assume it's like the band, unless why would it be Mark Bolan? I mean,
well,
why
would it? It's an urban myth. It is an urban myth, but it's an mish. But it's an urban, it's an urban myth that got as far as a question on University Challenge.
No, I think that's interesting.
Comic Relief. So let's just see what it says. On it's been rumoured for years that Mark Bolan, frontman for the glam rock band T-Rex, I don't know if you need that, played guitar on the track. Gloria Jones, his girlfriend at the time, did provide backing vocals for Ike and Tina Turner, and she asserted it was the case in Mark Bolan, The Final Word, and this claim is bolstered by the fact that Bolan toured the US extensively and resided in LA in the mid-70s. He's acknowledged to have played on Ike and Tina single Sexy Ida and Baby Get It On. However, a 2008 Ebony magazine article about Ike Turner identified James Bino Lewis then a member of Arctic Teens backing band, King Rhythm as the guitarist. Should we just very quickly...
Yeah, well,
because one of the things about Nutbush City Limits is I wouldn't say the guitar is that big in it in my head, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it starts...
Hang on, let's hear it.
I mean, I think what
okay, this is, by the way, from Music Larden, and the bloke playing the acoustic guitar here is definitely not Mark
no,
Boland.
But I think that sort of rock and roll-y, it's a very Boland sort of riff, but, yeah. But I can see why people would think it, but it seems
can I just
not
say,
to know.
And I may even contact Danny Baker, who should be on this podcast at some point.
Yeah.
I've always felt he might be pissed off that we haven't asked him.
Mm.
And actually, the reason we haven't asked him, if you're listening, Danny, is I think Danny knows too much about David Bowie, and
we
just wouldn't get a word in edgeways, we should ask him.
Yeah,
but I now think I should have argued, because what happened was, on University Challenge 2003, is Danny Baker appealed to the audience, or... I think he asked Angus Deaton to build the audience. And of course, because I was in the university team and he was in the non-university team, they all went for them because they're like the underdogs.
That's Brexit, basically.
Brexit, exactly. Yeah. I think that's where Brexit started with that moment. So he won the point, even though...
Yes.
But now reading that, I think it's more... like Gloria Jones said it was him. And she sung with Ike and Tina Turner, and he's on two other Ike and Tina Turner singles. So there's much more. It's not really just an urban myth.
It's really good how you're putting the charity angle first here on what was a comic relief special.
I'm going to definitely get in touch with Danny Baker. I might ask him to do the podcast.
When we did Game for Grenfell, which was a soccer game for Sky to raise money for people affected by Grenfell, Mourinho... Jose Mourinho turned up and was a goalkeeper.
He wasn't the manager?
No, he wasn't the manager. He was a goalkeeper at the end, which is very nice of him to do. And I'm not suggesting but it was similarly, it was a charity event.
Right.
But...
He got cross.
He didn't... I don't think he got cross, but what he did is he was in goal and one of the firefighters who had been at Grenfell, took this penalty against him.
Mm.
And someone said afterwards on Twitter or something, that is the most Mourinho thing I've ever seen in my life, because he... tried so hard to save it. I mean, he saved it. Like, it was a brilliant save.
Right.
And you're sort of thinking, wow, wouldn't you think you might let the firefighter score? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he really went for it. And there was a thing, the whole crowd sort of went, oh. Sort of there's a moment. So I'm not suggesting,
No, I think I would have tried
University
to
Challenge
save it
was
myself.
For charity.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. And actually, I can let you into a little secret here. Which is, I know that's terrible when I say that on this podcast, that if you're listening, Daily Mail, it's not a big story, is that...
that definitely went pretty
Richard Curtis originally, before they asked me to host it, they asked me to be on the teams for University Challenge, and Richard Curtis said to me, don't be too clever, meaning don't answer too many questions.
Right, right.
And I said, no, fuck off. If I'm going to be on it, I will definitely be answering questions properly.
Yeah.
I think that was one reason why I got asked to host it instead.
Yes.
Because they didn't want me, being Mourinho-like in the teams.
I am really looking forward to seeing it. It'll be on soon, right?
It'll be on soon.
I'm looking forward
to it. But meanwhile, do you want to ask me... But we've got about 3 minutes before you have to leave.
So here's some questions back as you're no longer quiz host.
What's it from?
It's from the thisdayinmusic.com.
Okay,
never heard
great.
Of it. It bills itself as the hardest Bowie quiz on it. So this is quite a hard question. Number one, which famous rock guitarist was Bowie's friend at school? And they're all multiple choice.
Peter Frampton is the answer.
Jeff Beck or Jimmy Page is Peter Frampton. So we're going to put that
in. That's my Peter Frampton impression. Pretty good, don't you think?
Do you want having another attack?
You know, the vocoder.
Again? Yeah.
Yeah, that was... Because I actually watched him the other day, because Danny Baker posted a footage of him saying David Bowie's schoolmate, who had his own 15 minutes of fame, as opposed to Bowie's much longer.
Well, what's your Frampton? How do you do your vocoder?
And it was a bit of him doing... I can't remember what the song was, but famous...
Yeah. Show Me the Way.
Show Me the Way. It was Show Me the Way. And then there's a guitar solo, and it's... Well, I actually thought was, watching it, that was his big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The vocoder.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, and what I thought watching it was, no, take that stupid thing out of your mouth. I want to hear this guitar solo.
Yeah.
But, Show Me the Way. It's a good song. Let's hear it with the proper guitar solo, not with you sounding...
it was massively... That double album was huge.
Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive, yeah.
What? I don't know how that...
Because of the vocoder, because for about 15 minutes in the 70s...
Everyone thought
that was
the
future. People thought that was amazing. Yeah.
It's like when you think, I wonder if there are any. I used to think when I was a sort of teenager, thinking, is there an instrument you could invent? Like the guitar arrived. Yeah. Is there another instrument that could just change everything?
Yeah.
And I agreed with a couple of close friends that it would be called the Zagatron.
Oh, really?
But I don't know what it is.
Oh,
because
okay.
The trouble with synthesizers were arriving in the 80s. Yes. You just thought, well, whatever the Zagatron sounds like, the synth can do it. So what?
Well,
how do you...
I mean, we need to get on with the quiz. Yeah. You need to go. But I'm going to have to tell you that... I did a sitcom on Sky a long time ago, before Sky were really making their own programming, called Badil Syndrome, that was very, very good and much reviled.
Much talked about.
Much reviled, but actually really good. Mm. And the best episode...
And that's
almost,
coming from you, so that means something.
And the best episode, I would say, involved Dean Friedman. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, Dean Friedman, you'll know his song. He had a big hit, and it was a duet with someone, and it was called... Thank Your Lucky Stars. We can thank our lucky stars that we're not as we like to think we are. He was in that. It was a very funny idea whereby everyone who was in Badil Syndrome was singing along to that one day at the club they all went to, ironically, and then it turned out Dean was in the club and thought they really loved it. And then for the whole episode, we had to pretend to be Dean Friedman.
Right.
That's the episode. Anyway... Dean then sent me quite a lot of stuff afterwards.
Okay.
And he, it turns out, as a kind of children's thing, makes up instruments.
Oh, wow.
That's one thing he does. So he has a whole thing where he's got like the Hoogelfumpf.
Yeah.
And the Hoogelfumpf will be like a half tuba, half kazoo.
Yeah.
And he'll do actual like playing on it on an album for children. But there's loads of them. In fact, I'm very quickly going to get up because I think they do have funny names. Dean Friedman's instruments, which, by the way, sounds like words for your genitals.
Doesn't it just?
I got kicked in my Dean Friedman's instruments the other day. The Booble, the Honkblat, the Boing de Boing, the Jungle, they're all like names for genitals. The Tonestones and the Laser Hop. Okay, I think we might have to go out on this
that's
because
fine,
you've got to go, but shall we just hear a bit of it?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a bit of it. This is at the Children's Museum in Halifax.
And he's playing
in
England. Hufflepuff.
The children are playing them. Slightly creepy sound of children enjoying themselves. Yeah, I feel any second now the creepy version of the Laughing Gnome is going to come across this and we're going to be in a horror
film. Sounds awful.
But you can go and...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
See it, Dean Friedman's music atrium instruments.
I love that.
Oh, how brilliant. The Boing de Boing, the Jungle, Lily Lily, the Tonestones, the Laser Harp, the Booby and the Honkblat. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week.